Well, we can finally say for certain that they do not rig eliminations. Plus, group jumping photos, daily challenge callbacks, Jasmine the quote machine, Brandon semi-backstabs, Cam has one single mission, Laurel flirts, and we get an all-time elimination matchup, and they are made to throw star thingies. It's the Challenge All-Stars 4, Episode 4 recap coming up right now. What up, my fellow challenge lovers? Welcome to The Challenge Historian, where we dive deep into all things MTV's, Paramount Plus's, or Buna Murray's, or anywhere's The Challenge. I am your host and dedicated Challenge Historian, Jacob Hollaball. Thank you so very, very much for being here bright and early on this Wednesday morning with me. We are recording maybe the earliest we have as far as, there was a couple early All-Stars episodes where we were up a little earlier than this, but it's 7:40 a.m. here. We got up bright and early at the crack of dawn to watch All-Stars 4. We knew it was going to be a good episode. It mostly was, and we are here to break it all down. Before we dive in, typical agenda for an All-Stars 4 recap, we're going to mostly walk through the episode. I've got one big thought up top that will actually kind of start with the end of the episode, go into the full episode from start to finish, and then end where we started. That'll make sense by the time we get there. Only programming reminders, Survivor coverage will continue throughout the rest of this, what is turning into, out of nowhere, suddenly an amazing Survivor season. Now that they've got to the final 8, 9, 10 people, just the best cast members that could have made it, and suddenly we're realizing how good the casting for the season was. So Tony and I will be back sometime this weekend to cover the episode that will be airing tonight on this Wednesday night. So tap into that if you are a Survivor watcher. Otherwise, All-Stars 4 will continue. Probably won't be this early, this available, this quick on every single Wednesday, but the goal is kind of by midday every Wednesday to have these recaps out to you. Other than that, nothing on the immediate agenda for the next few weeks for the show. So thanks as always for being here. Subscribe, follow, rate, review, all of that good stuff. And without further ado, let's just dive right on in. All-Stars 4, Episode 4, here we go. They do not rig eliminations. I feel like I finally have definitive proof for something I have always argued. I have so many people in the world of The Challenge, and such a big part of the fandom, you know, lives on this, like, they do all these shenanigans. They do shenanigans. There's random production stuff. I actually saw a pretty impressive that it was put together thread of everything production messed up on every season of The Challenge over on Twitter. I apologize for whoever that was that put that out. I was like, oh, I agree with most of these, but this show's really, really hard to do. And as far as outright just we see a matchup and we completely change the game, that kind of rigging eliminations, I have long argued they don't do that. They probably wouldn't do that. But I've also always said the one way they could, the easiest way, if they ever were to do it, is that a pole wrestle doesn't take any equipment or setup, so it's just removing whatever was there before. So in theory, if they were going to do it, they could, by pulling anything out and throwing a pole in the middle, if they got a matchup where they're like, we have to have this be a headbanger. And guess what? I know I'm starting with the end of the episode here, but it ends up being Rachel versus Kara. Everyone wants to see it. Everyone wants to see it be a physical elimination in some form of capacity. And no, it's not. It's a very gimmicky game. If there was ever a time to just pull everything out of the arena and be like, hey, you saw the names are up. Yeah, get that stuff out. There wasn't a ton to remove in the first place, and just throw a stick in the sand. No one knows the wiser. It was this moment, and they didn't. They stuck with the gimmick game. This is the best proof as I've gotten in a long time that they don't swap the eliminations based on the people going into them. So let's maybe lay that to rest. I will say while we're here, while we're starting with the elimination, we'll come back to it. We're about to do our full actual walk through the episode. My top pick for these two women to do, which we wanted something physical. We wanted last week's. We wanted Kara in there versus Rachel last week instead of the Ayana matchup that we had. We wanted something of that nature. It would have, you know, sucked for Rachel to have to go back-to-back physical eliminations versus good competitors, but it is what it is. That's what we wanted. My top pick, pole wrestle, balls in, sure. My top pick, as boring as it can be to watch sometimes, I would have been most interested in who wins a reverse tug of war between these two. Just something where it's like truly just purely like, what's your kind of athleticism and endurance? That I feel like that would have been the best. That would have maybe been my pick. It would have been a little boring. Obviously, a pole wrestle would have just been all-time amazing. Balls in would have been all-time amazing. Anything other than the gimmicky game we got, but we'll talk about that again at the end. Let's go back to the beginning and do a proper walk through the episode. Opening house segment is quite short, but a couple quick notes to point out. First one, I should have rewound and went back and double checked, but again, we're pumping this out as quick as we can. So single watch, only rewound to write down a couple quotes from the Queen Jasmine herself. We'll get to all of those. But did I glimpse Rachel? There was a reference as that opening scene. They're all talking in the room. There was a reference to a shoulder something going on, and that was I think they would focus on it a little more if there was like a real injury coming out of last week's elimination versus this might just be, you know, the life of a fitness entrepreneur and someone who works out every day of their lives for a living, that like you got some bumps and scrapes and some nagging things like, oh, the shoulder's just, you know, never been 100% for the last couple of years and that elimination wasn't great. I don't know. I don't think it ultimately affected anything else the rest of this episode, but I just pointed it out. And then also it's worth pointing out because it'll come back up later. I don't know when they're filming the confessionals versus when the vote eventually happens and all of that, but Rachel and Veronica are openly talking shit on Tina in confessional of like, she's not that good at this, never has been. And they also remember took her star and she was totally fine with it when they could have just said, take Kara's and all three of us have one. And what a fun moment that'll be, even though it won't obviously last for the whole season, but like, let's have that moment. And they didn't. So, you know, Rachel and Veronica are showing in this trio, there's a strong duo and they have a third that joins them from time to time, but the duo reigns supreme within the trio. And the final thing to point out is then we get the quick little convo between Nicole and Cam. And I don't think Cam is having her mind made up by this info Nicole tells her, or this rumor as it is that Nicole tells her. I think Cam had it pretty set at what she was probably going to do within this game the moment she saw who all was there, and certainly after last week and being able to, whether it was deserved or not, frame Kara as having gone against her first to be able to then be okay with, I'm going to target you even though we're friends. I think Cam was doing that regardless. But I do want to say, in this moment, I'm like, dude, this is bullshit. I don't buy it. I don't trust the narrator at all here. I don't trust the messenger at all here. So I'm not buying the message when it's a one-on-one, and I just do not trust Nicole giving her this info, potentially doing this just to instigate to better herself. And it's a good move, whether it's fully accurate information or made up information or somewhere in between. It's a good move for Nicole to be like, hey, there's a handful of us really strong women in this house. Let's make sure that I kind of pit others against each other while I stay out of it. That's a good place to be. So I don't hate the strategy or the politics potentially behind it, but I just don't know where I believe that this falls on the completely true, completely fabricated, somewhere in between scale of the info Nicole is filling in Cam on here. To the daily challenge we go, and my goodness, is your boy giddy over here, okay? This is so great. I have long wanted All-Stars, especially, if not even Flagship and otherwise, but especially All-Stars. I have said before, and will say again, and they're starting to actually do it, should be dailies and eliminations of old. There should be no new anything, really, in All-Stars. It should be only the best dailies ever, the best eliminations ever. And I know for eliminations, that would mean kind of just repeating a bunch of them over and over. I'm good with that. Daily challenges, though, this version of it, how they're doing it here, the reloaded version of taking an old daily, adding an extra element to make it a little more modern. You know, yeah, we did this once before. It was just hanging over the water. You fell in at the end. This time we're going to make you do it on the side of a semi-truck. It's a little more modern challenge. I love it. It's beautiful. Keep doing versions of old dailies. It's just amazing. I am so, so thrilled, so, so happy about this development. And it's a real development. They're going to continue to do it because on the next week on, at the very end of the episode, for next week, they're doing another reloaded-esque, if not just completely redo, of an old daily challenge. And boy, is it a fantastic and fun one in the exact games that they should bring back for All-Stars. So I'll talk about that one next week, but I'm loving the reloaded versions of this game, future ones. I hope every episode the rest of the season is this. I don't love the four-team aspect, but, you know, whatever. And, you know, oh no, I hear your trepidation here. Jacob's going to talk about how they should do drafts again. I'm going to really quick, because if you're going to do this many team ones, as good as the strategy and alliance stuff is, and juicy as it is with a good cast like this and a nice mix of allegiances in a cast like this, as good as that stuff is during the voting later when suddenly it's only five people voting out of all the people in the house, everything like that, you know what's really fun? If they were doing drafts week after week and different people got picked, the teams ended up being different. You got last time. We ain't picking all our friends anymore. We're trying to win this thing. And then different feelings are hurt. Different alliances are made and broken. Draft these teams. It doesn't add that much time to, you don't even have to maybe even show the draft. You can literally show them, draw four names out of a hat to be the captains. And then you can just whoop, do a little zoom forward. And here's your teams. Here's the three confessionals from the three people that feel like they were picked in the wrong spot. Whatever. You can do this in 60 to 90 seconds. It doesn't have to take up a lot of your time. And it shouldn't take up as much of your podcast listening time. So I will move on and I will try my best not to bring it up again this season. The game that they play is super hard, and it ultimately comes down to what Laurel and Cam do. This game really does come down to, you don't need one person in charge, you need two. Because the one person, by virtue of you have to go where the rope wants you to go, you could end up squished on the inside where you can't see anymore. So if it's just truly like one person's in charge, no one else talk, one person make all the calls, they can do most of it, but there's positions where they don't have the right vantage point. So you want two people to always be like, only these two people talk. They're in charge. They need to be able to work together to know who should make the next call, etc. Or if they both say something at the same time, which one do we listen to? And Cam and Laurel execute to perfection. So hats off to them. They absolutely crush. It's a hard game. We don't really know what the times were, so we can't say anyone did super poorly or well. Some people that we expected to maybe just kind of float around out there, I did pick up on, although it ultimately isn't going to matter. You know, there's the little bit of friction between Rachel and Adam, which I think goes all the way back to the Gauntlet days when there was a little bit of a friction between Rachel and Adam. But, you know, by the end of the episode, Rachel's gone. So I don't know that that totally matters. But maybe if that friction exists between Veronica and Adam in the future, or just Adam and anyone else in the house of him kind of taking charge. I did appreciate, since we brought this up, I did appreciate him before. Jinx or no jinx, I appreciate him saying, how did they let this team get put together? And I appreciated Kiefla being like, no jinx, let's just continue being confident. Because yeah, any daily where they actually get to be on their feet and doing anything other than dangling on the side of a semi, this team was stacked, and it was quite surprising that they did not finish in the top two. Back to the house in the nominations we go. First, before they get to the nominations, we get a couple brief things, but it mostly gets to strategy. But before it does, we get the first Laurel Nicole flirting, getting closer again moment of the season. And if I were to judge, which I'm about to, this conversation happens immediately after Laurel has gotten out of the shower. She is still in her towel, looking like the goddess that she is, and she decides this is the moment when I'm wet hair. We're only wearing a towel. Nicole is sitting down over there. I'm going to walk up and instigate this conversation and this flirtation. So if we're scoring this at who's at fault for this rekindling, this, I don't know which way you would, is it Laurel gets a point for being the instigator of this one, or Nicole gets a point for not being the instigator of this one? Because I think you want to not be instigating this, so maybe Nicole, I don't know. Either way, this one's on Laurel. This particular movement forward of the two of them, this one's on Laurel. I just, you know, you don't have the conversation. If you're having the conversation in that setting, in that attire, you're doing it with a reason in mind, with an end goal in mind, that things are going to go forward, not backward in that moment. And so, the point for one of them, whichever way you want to do that scoring system. Then they go to the bar, and hey, just got to point it out, this is not me trying to be like All Stars isn't that good, or the flagship is better than you give it credit for, but it is to say, kind of those things, that these aren't that the people that are so upset and just can't ever get themselves to like a flagship season anymore and just think All Stars is just so unbelievable, so good, no, nothing can touch it. They're a little closer than you think they are, and it truly does just come down to our familiarity with the cast members and how much we love them and love just the fact, like, we're seeing Rachel and Tina and Veronica together on a season, talk about being together on a season. And that's amazing to us, just because of our relationship to those people and how much we care about those people. And that's it. Because there are still many parts of this, like the bar night. You know what we complained about at the bar nights in seasons, recent seasons of the flagship? That's like, oh, they get to go to the bar and they just have a strategy conversation and then go back to the house and continue the strategy conversation. Well, guess what we get here? They go to the bar and we see one single scene from the bar, and it is three people talking strategy, and that's it. And then we're back to the house. So just saying, there's more similarities here than not, and I only say that to hopefully maybe raise the profile of the flagship, not in any way to bring down the profile of All Stars, which is truly amazing and wonderful, and I love it. Cam then kind of is not in the power position as far as the five people voting, but she is in the power position as far as has a lot of the power within this house. Either has all of the power, or at worst is the only one willing to attempt to have the power and attempt to really say things. And she's just like, if no one else wants to grab the reins of this game, I will. And so some combination of those two things. But she is the one with Laurel in the room. So Laurel is kind of tacitly agreeing with this. Tells Avery, hey, this is pretty obvious. Kara versus Rachel. What are you guys doing? Like, you need to convince this crew that Kara and Rachel are the two going in. They're the two biggest threats in the house. Why would we not put them against each other when we have this moment? And Avery then is like, yeah, I agree with that. And she tells the swings, as she calls them, which it does work out that they're four of the five people of the voting crew here are people that would be kind of swing votes, that have, you know, a friend or two in the house, but no solid, like, I am for sure working with this group against these people. None of that. They are swing votes. That's Jasmine, Brandon, Jay, and herself, Avery. And they talk about it. They agree. It's their best move. They come to the consensus of, like, you know, most of us have to say a name here. We don't necessarily want to, but we know is the best thing to do and is good. And how can we, you know, it's actually really impressive that they all can, like, navigate, like, okay, one of us doesn't have to say Kara. So, like, Jay, you're the one that, you know, is the most against this. You don't have to say her name. That's fine. And, you know, Brandon and Jasmine step up and do. So they all agree. And for their votes, one by one here, Jasmine's vote against Kara, I totally get. She defends it properly. No notes as far as her just being like, hey, no one ever does anything nice for me in the history of this game. You might be like nice to me or whatever, did a semi nice thing, I guess, in the last couple of episodes, but like, what are we doing here? No, like, I'm getting you out. No notes for Jasmine. Fantastically executed. Brandon's vote, I get him voting for Kara, as he says later in the elimination, like, yeah, we're friends, but like, I haven't seen you in 8 years. Like, it's a long time. Maybe just tell her ahead of it, though. I get, like, hey, I'm going to vote for you and Rachel because I think both of you are going to beat me in a final, potentially. Like, fantastic. Respect. Great. As Rachel says in the elimination ring, like, it is a respectful move. It is because, you know, they think this highly of us. Just maybe if you're Brandon, tell Kara ahead of doing it instead of right after, if you've already decided, because they had already decided and they have that conversation right before they go in the room to make, or outside, I guess, as it was, to make the vote. Maybe tell her in that moment and let her then go blow off some steam while you're actually doing the thing. I don't know if it helps or hurts any, but I feel like it's a touch, a smidgen better. But it's also not as good a TV. And I think he is, and they all there are trying to make good television. So he just kind of, you know, poo-poos the question, and which is in its own way answering it, as she kind of gets the read of like, this doesn't seem to be going good. He kind of didn't answer my question and tells her afterwards. At least he owns up to it immediately afterwards. Tina's vote then, it doesn't matter. And props to Jasmine for telling the truth when filling in Rachel, because sometimes, you know, this could have been a situation where she's like, yeah, Tina voted for you too. And like, she isn't lying. She's just like, sure, that I'm answered the question and kept on with my day. But she makes sure to say, hey, it was 3-1. And then, so it didn't matter. And so Tina said your name. I appreciate that from Jasmine, giving the proper context and information to Rachel, who does then, I think, isn't really even mad at Tina. I think Rachel is just being the professional television cast member that she is, and is giving them the confessional they want, and knows, like, I need to go just have a conversation with Tina about it in the bedroom. She knows it's inconsequential. Tina knows that they're giving us what, you know, the show wants. Small little storyline addition there. So that's just what they're doing that. And, you know, again, we did also say at the beginning of this, you called her bad at the game and you took her star to give you to your actual favorite, the actual alliance, the twosome alliance within the trio. So no harm done here from Tina. And then to the arena, we're back around where we started the episode. So we won't cover again that they could have switched this out and they didn't. And that proves a longstanding point of mine. But judging this game on the FAX, judging this game as a carnival game that it is, as far as carnival games go, this one is pretty fun and provides some laughs. Obviously, as we said at the top of this episode, we would have loved this not to have been a carnival game. But as far as carnival games go, if I only graded on that scale, it is pretty fun and provides some laughs. Also, they're all going to be like this. I think TJ really means it and is being told by production to, for once, to say this because it matters. And he keeps saying, anyone can't win this game. Do not give up. Do not think that you can't. I think he's trying to say there is a lot of parts of this game that are like this, okay? That Kara and Rachel can come down here and we can all have a laugh with them at the fact that these two aren't that great at this thing. I think he's trying to get that point across, and production is trying to get that point across too, that this season, the eliminations, a lot of them are going to be like this, and big parts of the final, I think, are going to be like this. There's going to be carnival elements to the entirety of the game to try to make it as equal footing as possible. It'll still matter. There will still be some running and some strength-related things in the final that will aid a Kara, a Brad, a Leroy, etc. But I think they're trying to sell that this is going to be as evened out as possible. Now, there hasn't been, we already discussed, you know, Kara wins, and, you know, it is what it is. She ends up being better. There hasn't been a good reason for any of the winners to throw themselves in yet. I don't think Laurel or Cam should have here. I don't think anyone really should have at any point, but it still is a bit surprising just looking at it holistically that no one's done it yet. But then, you know, you do the individual and you're like, no one should have, but it's still kind of surprising three times through here that no one has thrown themselves in and that no one has really jockeyed for stars yet at all. No one is trying. I think one of the things we're slowly learning about this is by putting them in circulation immediately, it is what Kara keeps saying of like, now you're just playing defense. Now people are just trying to steal it and it's hard to hold the star all the way till the end. And so I feel like everyone's slowly gaming like, how many weeks do we have? And I really just want to try to get one like the last one or two rounds and that's it. And so no one's trying to get last to go in. No one's throwing themselves in from the winner's position. Interesting results thus far. And again, tough performance for Carr and Rachel. I thought they would adjust slightly quicker than they did, but hats off to them for both, you know, taking this well, having a laugh. And by that, I mean mostly Rachel. Carr is a good sport once the game begins and everything beforehand. You know, she's having a tough time with it, deservedly so. But Rachel takes the loss super duper well. I think Kara was ready to be very upset if this was the game that ended her game as a whole, and I wouldn't have blamed her for being that. But we have to say goodbye to Rachel, and thankfully we know that she is on season 40, and so that you know, that limits the sting of this a little bit. Is like, we will get to see her again right away, so that's great, but it still sucks to see, you know, we finally get her back. It's amazing. She's amazing. It's so fun. And then to have her go out in this manner, it just feels like, you know, at least we got to see her really get to perform last week in the elimination. So that's cool. And she will be missed, but thankfully we will be seeing her again quite soon. To the awards we go. Best quote. We'll start with the third and final nominee, as we were just coming off talking about Rachel. She did at the end say, quote, "I always wanted to like you guys when I said goodbye, and now I do." And I really, really enjoyed that moment of her being able to be like, "I actually just like made friends and didn't get in any fights with anyone. And just everyone was nice to me, and I was nice to everyone, and everyone's nice to each other. And I lost, and I get to say goodbye to people that I actually like and wave. And I don't have to be all bitter and angry when leaving." I think that was a really cool moment, and so I throw it out there as a best quote, because just to get it in there, because the real quote of the week goes to one of two amazing nominees from Jasmine, the odds-on favorite, heavy favorite at this point already, to win the Dan Renzi Award for All-Stars 4. Won't give it out yet, but she's well on her way. Two quotes here. First one, quote, "It's just sand and dust and everything in my mouth and eyes. I've got titties in my mouth, feet everywhere, butts everywhere. I'm about to see Jesus, so go ahead and say my eulogy at this point." End quote. That was obviously as she was being squished against the semi during the Daily Challenge. And then, quote, "All this blah, 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 baby tantrum type of crap. I just want to find a pacifier and stick it in her mouth so she'll shut the fuck up for 2 goddamn seconds and take a nap." End quote. And that is a quote from a mom, if I've ever heard it, and an amazing burn, if I've ever heard it, of Kara in that moment. Just unreal. Jasmine, quote of the week. Take your pick for which one. Best moment. Shout out the editors. First nominee, the little group photo jump transition into the Daily Challenge. All jump outside of the house, land at the Daily Challenge. Nice little kind of social media-esque tie-in to the episode. Well done, editors, on that. Well done, cast. All solid jumps all around. If I were to rate the jumps, everyone got some airtime, which was a nice surprise. So great job all around. Another moment that stood out, super tiny, hard to have noticed, but notice it I did. Avery and Tina were the final two people on their team to finish the maze. Avery was second to last, so she passes the little peg off to Tina, who then finishes it. But Avery very clearly is holding on to the peg still the whole time Tina is. She's basically like, as Tina, I don't know who's leading in that moment, but they both have their hand on the peg to the very end, to the point that when they get it to the last spot and pull it out, Avery's the one that ends up with the peg celebrating. And again, she was in the second to last, not the last position. And I just found it very interesting. Clearly Avery's competitive juices are going. She's, you know, fresh off a win. She's feeling good. And she's really, really enjoying the competition part. I wish we would have got maybe a little comment on it from one or the other, but I picked up on it, and so we're throwing it in here just to make note of it. Third one, Brandon telling Kara he voted for of all the parts of, you know, Kara eventually getting voted in here. I'll give that the nominee, although just the moment of them putting Kara and Rachel on the board really, really is the real nominee. Let's go with that. Kara and Rachel, their names going on the board, and her saying, "We'll put on a fucking show." We saw it in the trailer. We hoped, we had fingers crossed, that would mean Kara versus either Rachel or Laurel in an elimination, and it did actually mean that. It just ended up being an elimination. That was a little silly. And then finally, Kara's initial miss and the turn and face and the cue, the music, the funny music, all of that, and, you know, then they let it be silly and funny, and everyone laughs together for a few moments. Loved that. But yeah, Kara and Rachel's names going on the board, moment of the episode. Strategy corner, I will say, is Tina got ragged on for not having good strategy in this episode by her besties. But if I got to give anyone, I mean, Jasmine and Brandon, I'm torn on if it's like the best strategy or not. I'm going to actually maybe say probably lean a little no. feel like it's a little early to distance yourself from the best player in the game, but you do you. I'm not going to call it worst, but I'm definitely not calling it best. Jasmine's vote was the proper strategy. Avery, her leading, instigating kind of that after Cam and her had that conversation is definitely a good strategy. But the one I'm going to give it to, best strategy of the week, Tina refusing to vote. Not refusing to vote first, but refusing to vote until she gets to go last and knows what the numbers are so that she can see, is this, you know, because I feel like there's a version of if they like, no, Tina, you're voting first, second, third, and they pressure her into like, you know where this is going, so you should do it. And they could convince her to say Rachel and Kara in her head knowing this doesn't matter. But if she's not the last to do it, the response to it is much different than if she refuses, like, I'm going last once this is already decided. You guys go ahead and decide it. It sounds like you have. That's actually a good strategy on her part to do that. So shout out to Tina. I think you're doing some things right. And speaking of her, she's also fifth place on our MVP. Tina's in fifth. Cam's in fourth. Jasmine in third. Again, stellar episode from Jasmine. Rachel second. Cara Maria takes home the MVP of this episode. It's an all-ladies leaderboard, as it should be. Cara is your episode four MVP. Power ranking and prediction time to close us out here. And the power rankings had to change because Rachel's gone. Our number two is gone. And with it, also our gaps on both leaderboards are gone. That has been the biggest mover over the last 2 weeks as gaps were created and now are completely taken away. On the women's side, Cara Maria stays one, but the gap is gone behind her. I got Avery 2, Laurel 3, Nicole 4, Cam 5. With respect to Tina, Veronica, and Flora, and Jasmine, I don't see it. I don't see a finals win in their future. I could see a finals win in the future of these five women, so they're in the top five. That gap is gone, though, because while I think Cara is, you know, kind of heads and shoulders above everyone in the game still, I do think she's going to maybe end up in elimination quite a few times by the fact that the whole house seems to almost be against her at this point, save for Ace. Love you, Ace. And she's got that star. So definitely going to be difficult ride, but she's still in first. On the men's side, slight change. Brad and Leroy stay in top two. I feel like Adam and Steve maybe deserve to be over them, but I think those two are going to be targeted by the Brads and Leroys because those two have the stars. But Adam moves up to three, Steve to four. Brandon drops from three to five because I do think losing the best player in the house as an ally is not a good thing. You got to have consequences for that. So he's bumped down to five. As for predictions, I was 2 for 4 last week on the predictions. So we're getting there. We're coming around. We're getting a little better. I think next week, it's not a cop-out because it's a bold prediction, but I'm going to give myself two potential answers to the prediction. I think Brad or Leroy, one of them, wins the daily and throws themselves in to elimination to get a star. I don't know if it's Brad, I don't know if it's Leroy, but I think I'm guessing one of those two will win, and I think either one of them, if they win, they're throwing themselves in for that star. I think that's going to happen. I'll second predict that TJ loves it when they do this. He's going to love that someone finally does it. And then I'm going to predict third and finally that Steve's star is the one that moves. I'm not saying Steve loses the elimination or anything. I just think one star will transfer hands at the end of this episode, a men's star. And I believe that star will be taken from Steve. So that's your predictions, your power rankings, your awards, your storylines, your everything. All Stars 4, episode 4. Huge moment. Rachel versus Cara doesn't quite live up to what we would hope, but it was still fun getting to see it, and it's still fun every week getting to be here talking about it with you. So thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Subscribe wherever you are watching. DM me on Instagram or leave a comment on YouTube if you want to chat challenge. As always, thank you so much for being here. We'll be back this weekend with Tony for Survivor if you're a Survivor fan. Otherwise, back next week for continued All Stars 4 coverage. Until then, peace.